Amen. Thank you, Gary. Yes, you can be seated. I know that I told you that we were going to be looking at the I Am statements of Jesus over the course of the entirety of the summer. And last week we looked at Jesus' statement, I am the bread of life. And today the plan was to look at Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world. However, I did forget just a little bit that there was a Father's Day in the middle of this summer. And you would think that of all days, how could I forget a Father's Day? But as I was getting ready to do the I Am statements, I just kind of felt led towards more of a Father's Day message. And so I thought I would do what I did back on Mother's Day, and that would take some relatively unknown women in the Bible that we don't hear a lot about or that don't get a lot of press about, but yet still serve the Lord faithfully and that God used to do incredible things, and share some of those men with you today. And so as I was thinking through that, I thought about Jabez. And if you remember, about 20 years ago now, I think it was somewhere right around the year 2000, a guy by the name of Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And so I thought about Jabez. I thought, man, I certainly want to say something about Jabez. And so I went to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, and I wrote down Jabez. And I just started to relook at that prayer that I have certainly prayed many times in my life. And I just couldn't kind of get past that. I kind of got just stuck there on Jabez, and I thought, well, rather than just sharing a bunch of kind of relatively unknown men, I thought we would just spend our time together on this Father's Day looking at a man named Jabez. And so that's how we're going to begin today. If you like to take notes and follow along on your outline, I do promise you that next week we will be back into the I Am statements of Jesus, looking at his statement, I am the light of the world. But today we will start with this, a man named Jabez. This is how your outline begins if you want to follow along and take notes. The entirety of what we know about Jabez is found in two verses. The only place you will find his name mentioned anywhere in Scripture is in the book of 1 Chronicles. It's in chapter 4. It's in verses 9 through 10. He's never mentioned again anywhere else. These are the only two verses that we have. And on top of that, these two verses come right smack dab in the middle of a genealogy that, to be honest, most of the time gets skipped over by the average Bible reader. I mean, if I were to take a survey today of what do you think are probably the most boring parts of the Bible, the vast majority of you would probably say the genealogies. And most of the time, if we're just to be completely honest this morning, when you come to your Bible reading time and you happen to come to a genealogy, what do? You skip it, right? You just go, there's nothing in here for me. Nothing in here. I don't need to know who begat who and who begat who and whose son is who. And it's a bunch of hard names that you normally don't know how to pronounce anyway. And so you just kind of find where the genealogy ends and then you pick up there. Well, right smack dab in the middle of this genealogy in 1 Chronicles 4, we are given the name of Jabez. And we're given some rather amazing insight into this man that is relatively unknown to the average Christian. Here is what 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 says. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. So from these two verses, here is what we know about Jabez. Everything we know about Jabez is found right here in these two verses. And here's the first thing we know about Jabez. We know that he stood out amongst everyone else. So as the writer of the Chronicles is making this list, this genealogy, he says about Jabez Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. There was something about the life of Jabez that caused the writer of Chronicles to stop the list and say, I can't move on until I say something about the kind of man that Jabez was. The word honorable is a word that means literally in the Hebrew language, weighty or heavy. Now, he's not talking about, the writer of Chronicles is not talking about Jabez's weight when he calls him honorable and saying he was weighty or he was heavy. He's using the word weighty that we have translated as honorable to say that there was something that was different about Jabez. There was something weighty or there was something heavy. There was a depth. There was a weight to his person, to his character that made him different than everyone else. There was a godliness. There was a holiness to his character that was considered more honorable than everyone else of that day. Whenever they thought about Jabez, there was something distinctly different about his relationship with God, about his character, about the kind of man he was that caused him to be looked at by others in a completely different perspective. So that's the first thing we know about Jabez, is that he was such a godly man that it caused others to have a high respect for him, where the writer of Chronicles couldn't even move on without saying, this man was more honorable than all of his brothers. The second thing we know about Jabez is that his name means pain. The second part of verse 9 says, his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. The name Jabez literally means pain. It comes from a root word in the ancient Hebrew language that means sorrow or grief. Jabez was named such because his mother, it says, bore him with pain. Now, every woman experiences some pain in delivery. Right, I can't speak to that personally, but I'm sure all the ladies can testify that every child comes with labor pains. So there was something obviously much different about the labor pains that Jabez's mother experienced while giving birth to him that was a bit more traumatic than what you would probably just normally experience through the birth of a child. It was so traumatic, as a matter of fact, that she memorialized the event by naming him Jabez, or one who causes pain, or one who is born with sorrow or grief as a result of the pain. In the ancient Hebrew culture, a person's name was synonymous with that person. Now, we don't put a lot of emphasis in our culture, when we name somebody, as a matter of fact, the vast majority of you probably don't even know what your name means. Some of you probably do. Some of you have probably taken the time to look it up. But the vast majority probably have never taken time to look up, hey, what does the name Brad really mean? Or Matt? Or Tim? Or Nathan? Or whatever your name might be. We just probably usually don't take time to figure that out. But in the Hebrew culture, a name meant a lot because it was usually synonymous with that person, not only as an identifying element to who they were, but also as an identifying mark of the kind of person or the type of person they were. So Jabez's mother didn't really do him any favors when she named him Jabez, because it was a constant reminder, not only to him, but to others as well. Here is one who has caused pain. And so Jabez probably grew up with this mentality, this mindset, as I am one who has caused pain to others. And I think there was something probably in Jabez's mindset, probably something in the desire of his heart that said, I do not want to live up to my namesake. I don't want to be a pain causer. I don't want to be someone who causes pain to others. And he wanted to change who he was. He wanted to change how others saw him or perceived him. He wanted to change his reputation from one who causes pain to one who blesses others. And the way he did this was he turned to the one that he knew could change him. He turned to the one that he knew could forever make him different than how he was named. And he turned to God and he asked God to change who he was. And rather than just accepting who his name said he was, he wanted to be known for something completely different. He turned to God to forever change him. And doing so, Jabez prayed a prayer that changed his life. Jabez prayed a prayer that changed his life forever. The third thing that we know about Jabez is the prayer that he prayed. It's recorded in verse 10. And clearly, the result of Jabez coming to be known as an honorable man. So when the writer of Chronicles says, this man was more honorable than everyone else, or this man was more godly than everyone else, this man, there was something distinctly different about who he was in his character, in his godliness. You can trace that back to a prayer. A prayer that Jabez prayed. Because verse 10 says, Jabez called upon the God of Israel. And then the very last part of verse 10 says, and God granted him what he requested. So it was a prayer that God said yes to. It was a prayer that obviously was in line with God's will for Jabez's life. So what was it that Jabez prayed that revolutionized, that changed forever the outcome of his life? What kind of prayer did he pray that God granted that caused Jabez to be known as an honorable man who stood out above all the others? This is what we're going to spend the rest of our time on this morning, looking at this life-changing prayer of Jabez. The life-changing prayer of Jabez. And we're going to break it down and we're going to see what it really was that he was asking for and why God so readily granted Jabez's request. When you look at the beginning, or when you look at the prayer and you begin to study what it really was that Jabez prayed, there was four requests. Four requests that Jabez made. It's not a long prayer. We have much longer prayers recorded in Scripture. We have much more in-depth prayers recorded in Scripture. This is just a one-verse prayer. It's a one-sentence prayer. But within this prayer, Jabez makes four requests. The first request he made was he prayed for God to bless him greatly. Verse 10 says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, that word indeed is put there because this whole phrase in the Hebrew language means that the way that Jacob called upon God and the way that Jacob asked God to bless him was not just, God, I want you to bless me a little, but God, I want you to bless me a lot. Or I want the fullness of your blessings to be poured out in my life. Now, on the surface, many of us, when we read this, we think, well, that's a pretty immature prayer. Or that's a pretty, maybe even selfish prayer, asking for the blessings of God. But upon closer consideration, it really is neither selfish nor immature. Because to ask for God's blessing is to ask for God's favor and his good purposes to be accomplished in your life. And that is what Jabez wanted. Really, this is a prayer of a very mature believer, of a man of great faith, as he is asking for God to do the extraordinary in his life. Because Jabez knows, I don't want just the ordinary. I don't want to do just what I can accomplish and what everyone else in their own strength and their own power can do or bring about. I want God's blessings, God's goodness, God's favor. I want the extraordinary to take place in my life. And he wanted, Jabez wanted to move out of the realm of the ordinary and into the realm of the extraordinary. And he knew that the only way that would happen was through the blessings of God being poured out on his life. You know, oftentimes we, I think, erroneously think or believe that the blessings of God are only associated with the physical blessings or the material blessings that we have in life. You know, we pray for good health. We pray for things that we think we want in this world. And there are certainly times and ways and measures that God does bless us physically, even materially. There are ways that God certainly does that. But if that is all we limit or understand the blessings of God to be, then we've missed it. We've totally missed it. And we would totally misunderstand what Jabez was asking for when he prays for God to bless him. The desire to seek after God's blessing is the desire to receive from God the good which he desires to give you according to his purposes and his cause for your life. And that good goes far beyond just physical blessings or material blessings. As a matter of fact, that good oftentimes doesn't even include, might exclude the material blessings of life. There might be times when God says, these material blessings are not really going to be a blessing to you. And he will, in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite goodness, even withhold those because he has something better that he wants you to receive from his good purposes that he wants to accomplish in our lives. Psalm 21, 1 through 3, King David gives us some insight here on what it means to pray for the blessings of God. And King David says this. This is really a prayer, Psalm 21. It says, O Lord, in your strength the king will be glad, and in your salvation, how greatly he will rejoice. Now let's just stop there for just a second. It says, O Lord, in your strength, the king will be glad. So there's a blessing that the king, that David the king understands will come to him that will cause him to rejoice when it is the strength by which God gives him or enables him to live his life by. And there is a salvation that is a blessing of God that will cause David to rejoice. And then in verse 2, he says, you have given him his heart's desire, talking about the king. You have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips, for you meet him with the blessings of good things. And that's what seeking the blessings of God is all about. It's saying, God, I just want the good things in my life that you have for me, that you want to give me. And I didn't even put it on your outline, or we didn't put it up on the screen, but if you go on and you continue in Psalm 21 and you were to skip down to verse 6, David says this in his prayer. He says, you make him, talking about the king, most blessed forever and ever. You make him joyful with gladness in your presence. Saying that there is a blessing, a joyful gladness that comes simply from being in the presence of God. And so the blessings that Jabez is seeking far and away are more than just the selfish or immature prayers of physical or material blessings. They run much deeper than that. If you go to Mark chapter 10, verse 16, we read there how Jesus took the children into his arms And it says, when he took the children into his arms, he began blessing them, laying his hands on them. The blessings that he was giving them was the blessings of his presence, the blessings of his purpose for their life. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so there are spiritual blessings that God certainly wants to give us, as well as physical or material blessings. So it is not an immature prayer to ask for God's blessings. As a matter of fact, it's a mature saint that will seek after and ask for God's blessings to be abundant in his life. I put on your outline, asking for God's blessings is wanting only what God wants for you. Because if you notice, when Jabez asked for God to bless him, he left it entirely up to God for how God would choose to bless him. There was no name it and claim it mentality, that whole prosperity gospel name and claim it, which is not biblical at all. That is not Jabez's thinking. That would not be what caused Jabez to rise to a position of being honorable or being godly. Jabez is simply praying, God, I want whatever it is of your goodness that you want to give me. And Jabez is thrusting himself or putting himself in God's favor or in the will of God for God to do whatever it was that God wanted to do in his life. And Jabez says, that's all I want, God. Whatever you want, whatever blessings in my life that you want to give me, that I will receive, because that is what I know will be best for me. Jabez's request was right on track with how Jesus teaches us to pray, the model prayer that we see Jesus giving us in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 9 through 10, when Jesus says, pray then in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that's what Jabez is saying. God, I want your will to be done. I want to entrust my life entirely to your will and to your purposes and what you want to accomplish. And it's important to always remember that there is no limit to God's goodness. That's why Jabez is perfectly right to say, God, I want you to bless me, not just a little bit, but a lot, because there's no limit to the amount of goodness that God wants to give those who are willing to ask. God's goodness is an unending reservoir that will never dry up, that will never get to a point where we'll say, well, I've received all of God's goodness that I'm going to receive. There's no more goodness for me to ask for. We will never, ever get there. It doesn't matter how long we are in heaven. Eternity is a long time, and we will never uncover or get to the end of God's goodness being poured out over our lives. And so when Jabez says, God, bless me and bless me indeed, it's because he knew that there is no limit to God's goodness. If you go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord, in speaking to Moses and revealing himself to Moses, it says, the Lord passed by in front of him, the him is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. The word of loving kindness in Hebrew is the word chesed, and it is oftentimes translated kindness or loving kindness, but it is also oftentimes translated goodness, because it all is wrapped up in the same thing. And God is saying, there is an abounding goodness to who I am. It abounds, my goodness, God says. And it never stops, and it never quits. God's goodness will never be exhausted. That's why Jesus tells us we need to ask for God's goodness. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, You look at verse 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So Jesus says, pray, pray, ask, it'll be given to you, seek, you're going to find, knock and it'll be opened to you. And you say, well, what do I need to be asking for? What do I need to be seeking? What do I need to be knocking that will be opened up to me? And Jesus tells us, you skip down just a few verses, verse 11, and this is what he says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Because how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So he says, ask. When you are asking God for his goodness to be poured out in your life, you are asking a prayer that God wants and is willing to answer, because you're asking right in the center of his will. So it is good to ask for God's blessings in our lives. God longs to give what is good to those who ask of him. It is important, however, to remember that when asking for God's blessings, that we are always sure our motives are right. We always want to make sure that our motives are right. In other words, we don't want to be simply asking for God's blessings because we love the blessings more so than we do God. We have to be careful at that point that the blessings that we are asking for God are means or measures or ways that we will only be able to better glorify God. As we enjoy those blessings are a means by which we will just enjoy the glory of God all the more. That is why James tells us in chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend them on your pleasures. If our pleasure in life is not ultimately rooted in God himself, then our motive in asking for God's blessing will be misplaced. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9, in that model prayer, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Saying the underlying measure, the underlying desire of every prayer we pray is, God, I just want your name to be glorified. So when you choose to pour out your blessings in my life, whatever those are, I will receive those gladly, but may it be a measure by which I will be able to only glorify you more. Our ultimate desire needs to always be for God's name to be glorified. And what he does and what he accomplishes and in the good blessings that he pours out in our lives. Jabez knew that, so he asked God for it, and God was pleased to give it to him. And the second request that Jabez asked of God was this. He prayed for God to enlarge his border. The second part of verse 10 records Jabez asking for God to enlarge my border. So what was Jabez really asking for by asking God to enlarge his border? Well, there's no doubt that Jabez is asking, God, I want you to enlarge my territory or my boundary where my territory is concerned. But given that Jabez was an honorable man, a godly man, there had to be something more to his request than just a desire to have more land. And I believe the request was for God to enlarge his border is really a request for God to give him more responsibility, or to give him more and trusting to him more, so that he could be that much more a blessing to others, be that much more influential in taking the resources and taking the blessings that God give him and using those as a way to glorify God in ministry to others. To ask God to enlarge your border is to ask God to increase your influence and your ability to bless others for the glory of God. Jabez believed that the more God entrusted to him, the more influence he would have, and thus a greater ability to be able to bless others in the name of the Lord. The mark of a mature believer is the desire to not accumulate treasures on earth just for our own pleasures, but rather there is a desire to accumulate treasures in heaven by which we will take the resources, the blessings in this life that God gives us, and use those for eternal purposes. And the way we do that is by using the resources that God has given to us to minister to others, to bless others, to help others. This is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." When we are able to share the grace of God with others, it will cause more and more people to give thanks to God in a way that will abound to the glory of God. A prayer for God to enlarge your border is a request signifying a desire to do more for God by ministering to others in His name. And that was Jabez. He goes, "God, I just want to minister to others more in your name as you entrust more responsibility to me." This is the kind of desire that's expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That's the prayer of a mature saint. "God, I want to always abound in your work. I want to always be about whatever you have given me, whatever you've entrusted to me, all the goodness that is poured out of my life. I want it to be abounding in the work that you have for me to do." This is why Ephesians 4:28 says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with those in need." And so those in the faith, the mature believers, they're going to understand that I don't accumulate just for my own sake, but whatever God blesses me with, it is for the purpose of sharing. It's for the purpose of building others up, advancing the kingdom of God through ministry to others. And again, the request of Jabez for God to enlarge his border is in line with what Jesus teaches us to pray. It's a request for God's kingdom to be established throughout the earth. That's what ultimately Jabez is praying. He goes, "God, the more responsibility I have, the more influence I'm going to have, the more I will be able to serve your kingdom and extend the boundaries of your kingdom into more and more of the enemy's territory." Jesus tells us to pray this way in that model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 9 and 10. He says, "Pray, your kingdom come." And that's what we want, God, your kingdom to come. We want your border to be extended. We want your boundary line to be moved more and more into the territory of the enemy as your kingdom grows and is advanced. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 15, God is praised for the extension of the borders of his kingdom. It says, "You have increased the nation, O Lord, you have increased the nation, you are glorified, you have extended all the borders of the land." It is the desire of mature believers to want God's kingdom to be advanced, for the borders of his kingdom to be extended throughout the earth. And then the third request that Jabez made of God was he prayed for God's hand to be with him. Looking back here in 1 Chronicles verse 10 of chapter 4, we hear Jabez asking, "Oh, that your hand might be with me." The hand of God is synonymous with his power and his presence. We see this in Joshua chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, where it talks about the Lord and how he dried up the waters of the Jordan, and how he split the waters of the Red Sea, and he dried up before them so that the Israelites could cross. And then it said that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that he may be feared forever. In Luke chapter 1, verse 66, it says of John the Baptist, "For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him," meaning just the power of God was evident in what was being accomplished or taking place. And so Jabez is requesting for the hand of God to be with him because Jabez understood, God, if I'm going to make any difference, any significant difference for eternity, for your kingdom, it will not happen by my strength, but it will happen by your strength working in me. A prayer for the hand of the Lord to be with you is a request for God to empower you to accomplish his purposes for your life. And that's simply what Jabez prayed. It's synonymous in the New Testament with asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 is a prayer that I pray every Sunday before I get up to preach, because it's always a reminder to me that I'm not going to do this by my strength or by my power, but by God's strength and God's power. And it just simply says this: whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That is the desire of Jabez. He goes, God, I just want your hand to strengthen me. I want to serve with the strength that you supply. It is an acknowledgement of your dependence upon God. And that's all Jabez is doing, is he's acknowledging, God, I'm going to be dependent upon you. If my life is going to change, if I'm going to be able to be different, it won't be because of anything I can do on my own. It will be because it's something you're doing through your strength, through your power in me. It's when we are completely dependent upon God and we desire to live with the strength and the power that he supplies, we will make a difference for the kingdom. This is why Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And we can't. We can't do anything of any eternal significance if the power of God is not abundant, if it's not being abundantly supplied in our life. And the reason why Jabez was able to rise above the crowd as an honorable or as a godly man was because he was dependent on the power of God, and he prayed for God's power to be evident in his life. And then the last thing that Jabez asked, the last request, was that he prayed for God to keep him from sin. And then the last part of verse 10 reads this way. It says, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. I believe that that's probably a poor translation from the Hebrew to the English right there. Because if you go back and you begin to do more of a literal translation, the more literal translation of the end of verse 10 would read, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. The word pain that is used in this verse in Hebrew is the Hebrew word rah. It's R-A-H. And it can be translated pain, but it can also, and often is times in Scripture, translated as evil. And I think that is much more in line with what Jabez is thinking, based on, given the fact of what he's been praying and the fact that he was an honorable man, a godly man that stood out among all the rest, is that Jabez is requesting for God not to keep him from pain as much as it is a request to keep him from evil, so that he will not then cause pain to others. It is a request for God to keep him from sinful actions that would cause him to harm others rather than to bless others. Because if it is true that Jabez wanted to change his namesake, that Jabez wanted to change who he was as far as what he was being identified with as a man who causes pain, then this prayer would make much more sense. God, I want you to deliver me from evil so that I would not cause pain. Because what Jabez knows and understands, and what is absolutely true, is that your sin and my sin does not just affect me, or does not just affect you. And if you believe that, then you are sorely mistaken. If you are under the delusion that my sin and my choices only affect me and no one else around me is affected by those, then you could not be under greater deception. Because your choices, not only affect you, but it affects everyone around you as well. Your good choices are going to have a positive effect on those connected to you, and your bad choices or your sinful choices are going to have a negative effect, not only in your life, but very likely on all those around you as well. And Jabez understood this. And so the last part of Jabez's prayer is really a request, I believe, for holiness. It's a request for holiness, for God to keep him from evil so that he could be holy, walk in obedience to God. Psalm 23:3 says, God guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And God does. He wants to lead us down paths of righteousness so that through our obedience, through our submission, his name is glorified. The desire of the godly is to be guided in ways that will glorify God in paths of righteousness. And again, Jabez's request is in line with what Jesus, back in chapter 6 of Matthew, modeled for us to pray. And in verse 13 of Matthew 6, Jesus said, we are to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I think that's what Jabez is praying. Jabez is praying, God, I want to be delivered from evil, and I do not want to cause pain to others. And the best way for me to do that is to just live in obedience to you. Because the more I live in obedience to you, and the more your goodness is being demonstrated in my life, the more I will be able to bless others rather than hurt or cause pain to others. Jabez desired for God's blessings to be poured out in his life in abundance. Jabez desired for God to increase his influence and his ministry opportunities. Jabez desired for God to equip and empower him to accomplish his good purposes in Jabez's life. And then Jabez prayed for God to deliver him from evil so that he would not be a source or a cause of pain to others. And I'm just wondering how different our lives would be, the lives of our families would be, the life of our church would be, if this was a prayer that we were praying fervently every single day. Not a long prayer, but a powerful prayer. A prayer with a desire to say, God, I want to make a difference for your kingdom. And here are the requests by which you might just pour forth the extraordinary so that I would be different for the glory of your name. So I put on the last part of your outline just a Father's Day commitment. And this is not just for fathers. It's certainly a prayer that I would encourage every father to pray for himself, for your children, for your wife, for our church. But it's certainly a prayer that moms, mothers, women, ladies can pray as well. And so I'm just asking this on this Father's Day. Will you commit to pray this prayer daily for yourself, for your family, and for your church? And let's just see how God might use that to make a difference, to make an extraordinary difference in our lives personally, as we cry out for God to bless us with his goodness, with his favor, with his purposes, as we cry out for God to give us more responsibility and opportunity to influence others for the proclamation of the gospel and the glory of his name. As we cry out for God to empower us, not by our strength, but by his strength and his power. And as we cry out, asking God to help us walk holy, overcome temptation, be delivered from evil, so that we might be a blessing to all around us as we walk obedient to the Lord. Not only do I believe that if we pray this prayer for ourselves, But we pray this prayer for our children, for our families, and we pray this prayer for our church. It's going to be said of us the way it was said of Jabez. He, she, they stood out. They were more honorable. There was a difference about their character, about their godliness, because God was doing the extraordinary in and through them. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us to live extraordinary lives for the glory of your name, living out your purposes, living out your plans that you have for us. Thank you for the example that you gave of one man who in faith turned to you for his life to be changed. And through a simple prayer, God, you answered in extraordinary ways, forever changing who he was and what he was about and what he stood for. And I pray, Lord, that you would do the same with us. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.